lama bima huwa ahlu. It has been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the ages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam for the hidayat and for the guidance of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam to teach people their purpose, their objective, and their goal in life. Without the direction, without the guidance, without the teachings of the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, a person lives a purposeless life. There's no purpose in his life. There is no objective in his life. There is no fulfillment in his life. He doesn't know how to behave as a human being. Rather, a person will conduct himself like an animal, nay, even worse than an animal at times. Because he doesn't have any guidance. He doesn't have any direction. He doesn't have any purpose. So he doesn't even know how to conduct himself. He doesn't know how to be a father. He doesn't know how to be a husband. He doesn't know how to be a son. He doesn't know how to be a neighbor. He doesn't know how to conduct himself with others in his society and his community. The person doesn't know how to behave himself because he doesn't have the guidance and the direction of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly sent Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam to teach people how to become true human beings. How to live a life of purpose. How to live a life which is in keeping with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence we find there was this entire system of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, starting from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, right till Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah sent Anbiya after Nabi after Nabi. Allah sent these various Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And then after Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, for a long period, for a period of 5 centuries, this world was engulfed in darkness. This world was in turmoil. It was in corruption. طَالَتِ الْفَتْرَى وَسَادَ الظَّلَامُ فِي الْعَالَمِ. The period where there was no guidance of a Nabi became very long. It was a very long period that there was no Nabi. For 500 years, this world did not have the nur of Nubuwat. It did not have the light of Nubuwat. And as a result of that, there was complete chaos in this world. There was complete corruption in this world. Humanity at large was on the brink of destruction. Allah says, وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ شَفَىٰ حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. You were on the brink and you were on the edge of falling into destruction, into the fire. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. And at that point, when humanity was doomed for destruction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to once again illuminate the entire world. To once again illuminate the entire world. That world that was covered and engulfed in darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about this nur of nubuwat, the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which brightened the entire world. The task of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary task. It was a very, very great task that Allah had blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. What Allah chose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for, it was the task of first clearing all the weeds of 500 years to clear the ground of all those weeds and then to plant that beautiful garden of Islam. It was a very, very great responsibility. But Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illuminated this entire world. He brought about an entire revolution. Not just a reformation, but a revolution was brought about by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that revolution came in the form of deen. It was deen that brought about an entire revolution. A revolution among those people, the Arabs, who were notorious for certain wrongs that they were involved in. They were notorious for killing their own, burying their own daughters alive. Imagine how hard the heart of a person has to be for him to bury his own daughter alive. But this deen came and brought such a revolution among those people that later on, this incident is lengthy, I'm just making inference to the incident, that later on, those same people were competing in taking care of an orphan girl. The person or those people that would kill their own daughters, now they were competing that who would take care of an orphan girl. Imagine what a revolution came about. But this revolution came about because of deen. So respected friends, this is this very, very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has blessed us with the ni'mat of deen. Whilst we acknowledge other favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person acknowledges that life is a favor of Allah. And he will make shukr to Allah that Allah blessed me with life. He acknowledges that health is a favor of Allah. And he will make shukr for the ni'mat of health. He acknowledges that wealth is a favor of Allah and he will make shukr for the ni'mat of wealth. But how many of us understand or appreciate from the bottom of our hearts this great ni'mat of deen that Allah has brought up, has granted us? This ni'mat that we explain, that brought about a total revolution. Those people that were on the brink of destruction, humanity was on the brink of destruction, and Allah saved the entire humanity because of this deen. What a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is. Imagine our life without deen. Sometimes we should sit and reflect. Imagine if I didn't have deen in my life. What would have been the condition of my life? We see sometimes, we will be driving, you see a person standing on the side of the road and urinating. Sometimes he will be an educated person, a professional person, but he's urinating on the side of the road. He doesn't feel anything about it. What will teach a person that that is something which is very, very, very bad, very reprehensible to do something like that? What will teach a person? It is only deen. To such an extent that deen has taught us how to use the toilet. How to relieve ourselves. Once a person taunted Salman Farsi radiallahu an, he mocked him. And he said to him, قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. Your Nabi has taught you everything. He even taught you how to use the toilet, how to relieve yourself. So he felt that this was actually a mockery of deen, a taunt, and it's something that it's a deficiency or it's something wrong in the religion that even the religion teaches you how to relieve yourself. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu changed the entire thing. He said, yes, our Nabi even taught us which hand to use and how to relieve ourselves. This is not a deficiency, this is the perfection of deen. Imagine to that level that our deen teaches us how to relieve ourselves. Deen teaches a person every aspect from before the child is born, when the father and mother meets, how they should be conducting themselves, right till the person passes away, even after his janaza, how his estate should be wounded. All these details deen teaches us. So without deen, respected friends, we would have been in a total loss. We would have been in a complete confusion. We would have been worse than animals. Therefore, we need to be making so much of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said, we acknowledge other favors of Allah. But we need to, from the bottom of our hearts, acknowledge and appreciate this favor of deen. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mat of Islam. What a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is. For us to understand the greatness of this ni'mat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, there's a famous ayat of Quran which was revealed on a very, very historic and a very momentous occasion. It was revealed on the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only one fard Hajj Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. Only one Hajj after Hajj became fard. That was the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was approximately 80 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the day of Arafah. Never before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had such a big audience. More than 120,000 sahaba radiallahu anhum that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing on that day. It was a Friday and it was the day of Arafah. It was after the Asr Salah. And on that occasion Allah revealed a very, very great ayat of Quran. Such an ayat of Quran that one of the Jewish rabbis who later on accepted Islam, Ka'ab Ahbar rahimahullah, he mentioned to Umar radiallahu an that if this ayah of Quran had to be revealed on us the Jews, we would have made that day a day of celebration. Because such a great thing, such a great message that has been revealed, we would have celebrated on that day. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him which ayat it is. He explained the ayat that we will discuss. Umar radiallahu anhu said that we know when it was revealed, we know the circumstances of the revelation. It is not one Eid for us, it is double Eid for us. Because it is the day of Arafah and it is the day of Jumu'ah. It is double Eid for us that day. What is that ayat of Quran? Such a great ayat of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma, today, addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and addressing the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today, akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have completed your deen for you. So not only Allah gave us a deen, Allah is saying, I gave you a complete deen. I gave you a complete deen. The ulama give an example. They say, like when a child is growing, then as the child grows, then his clothes need to change. If the child was 1 year old and you bought clothes for the child at 1 year old, when the child is 3 and 4, the child can't wear the clothes. And when the child now is 10 years old, the child can't wear that clothes. So as the child grows, then the garment and the clothes need to change as well. But then when a person reaches a certain age, then he stops growing. Then that clothes that he has, if he looks after it, if he takes care of it, if he doesn't overuse it, then sometimes he can use it for 20 years also. Maybe he got a jacket that he bought when he was 20, when he's 40, he's using the same jacket, provided he doesn't pick up weight. But anyway, when that person now reaches his that age that he stops growing, then that clothes don't need to change. They give the same example of humanity. Humanity, as humanity grew, then the deen continued to change. There was a deen that Allah sent to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then there were certain changes that happened in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. And then as we go on in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there were certain changes. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, there were certain changes. In the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there may have been certain additions. But when it came to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, now humanity reached that point in its existence that Allah sent down that complete deen. Akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah says that I have given you a complete deen. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my favor upon you. What favor? The same favor we are speaking about, the favor of deen. Allah says that now I have completed this favor upon you. Wa raditu lakumul Islam deena. And Allah says, I am pleased with Islam as your deen. One is what you choose, and what is what Allah chooses. Wa raditu lakumul Islam deena. Allah says that I am pleased with Islam as your deen. How proud we should feel. One is a person says, I'm proudly South African. Or I'm proud about this and I'm proud about this. When did we say I'm proudly Muslim? Not pride in a negative sense, but in the positive sense. I'm so happy, so pleased that the deen that I have is that deen which Allah has chosen for me. Raditu lakumul Islam deena. Allah says that I am pleased with Islam as your deen. The example that could be given is a father, He has a few children and he takes them, or he asks them, "What? Choose what you want." He was in a good mood. He told the children, "You choose what you want." One child says, "I want this." Another child says, "I want this." Another child says, "I want this." And then the father comes to his favorite child. He says, "You, I will choose. You don't choose, I will choose." And the father chooses something special for that special child of his. That is what Allah is telling us. That I, you, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are very special. And I have chosen Islam as your deen. Now when Allah has chosen Islam as our deen, how happy we supposed to be. How happy we supposed to be with Islam. How happy we supposed to be with our deen. And when a person practices on that deen that Allah is pleased with, that person will become, Allah will be pleased with that person. That person will become the beloved of Allah. Because that deen that Allah was happy with, he's practicing on that deen, then Allah will be happy with him. And unfortunately, if a person does not practice on that deen that Allah is happy with, that deen that Allah chose for him, or he in the bottom of his heart is not happy with that deen that Allah chose for him. Maybe he's not saying it verbally, but his actions. But in his heart he has reservations. Then Allah forbid, this person cannot be the beloved of Allah. Because he is not happy with Allah, with what Allah wants for him. So again an example. The father chose something for the child. He handpicked it. And now that child is not happy with the choice of the father. So the child, for example, the father bought him a jacket. But the jacket is staying in the cupboard, the child is not wearing the jacket. So the father asks him, "You don't like what I gave you?" "No, I'm very happy with it, I like it lot." He likes it lot, but it's cold, he's wearing some other jacket. He's not taking out that jacket and using it. So that means that verbally he may be saying that I'm happy with what my father gave me, but he's not practically happy with it. He's not interested in it. So respected friends, if we are verbally, if we say, "I am happy with the deen that Allah blessed me with," then practically in our life, that deen must show as well. And deen, complete deen. Because Allah has made deen complete. So we bring this complete deen in our life, and we will become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, "Ma min muslimin, O insanin, O abdin yaqul, raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallama nabiyya, hina yusbihu wa hina yumsi, illa kana haqqan ala Allahi ayyurdiya." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person, that insan, that Muslim, or that human being, or that slave, who says in the morning and says in the evening. In the morning he reaffirms this. And in the evening again he reaffirms it. "Raditu billahi rabba." I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb. From the bottom of our hearts. "Raditu billahi rabba." I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb. This is a cure for depression. When a person says, "I'm happy with my Allah." In the morning he's saying, "I'm happy with my Allah." In the evening he's saying, "I am happy with my Allah." Then inshallah that person can't suffer depression. Because whatever my Allah has decided for me, I'm happy with that. "Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena." The point we are mentioning, I am happy with Islam as my deen. He's saying it every morning from the bottom of his heart. Every evening he's again confirming it. "Wa bil islami deena." I am happy with Islam as my deen. "Wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya." I am happy with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Nabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who does this, kana haqqan ala Allahi ayyurdiya, then Allah will definitely make that person happy. Allah will definitely keep him happy. And one narration, yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of qiyamah, Allah will keep him happy. We're looking for the recipe of happiness. The recipe of happiness is we must be pleased with the deen of Allah. We must be happy with the deen of Allah. We must understand this great ni'mat of deen and then implement it in our life. Then inshallah we will find that Allah will bless us with happiness. We will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world also Allah will be happy with us. And Allah will keep us happy. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will be happy with us. Allah will keep us happy. So this is this great ni'mat of deen. Respected friends, for this realization to come in our life, for us to understand what a great ni'mat this deen is. Because unfortunately we understand the value of dunya. We understand the value of material. But very seldomly do we ponder over the value of deen. As we explain, what a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to understand this great value of deen and for us to begin to appreciate deen and to learn how to make sacrifices for the sake of preserving this deen. Like how the people of the past, they had to make great sacrifices first of all to get deen, to acquire deen. Such great sacrifices had to be made. To preserve deen, such great sacrifices had to be made. Alhamdulillah, the ijtima has commenced. It is here right at our doorstep. Let us ensure that we attend the ijtima for us to understand this great favor of deen, for us to appreciate what a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is and the responsibilities of deen in our life and upon us. Alhamdulillah, as we said, the ijtima has started. Being the host of the ijtima, let us also help and assist. People will be coming from all over. So let us help and assist and take part in the different responsibilities and duties that are there. And inshallah, this ijtima will bless us with this realization of deen. And this inshallah can become a turning point in our life and in the life of thousands of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi.